Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast, snap reactions for week five. Let's start with the tight end position, Arizona. Zach Ertz, third in the league at the tight end position in targets with a whopping 8.2 yards per reception, 1.13 yards per route run. And honestly, this is a good example of how Dynasty is a game. Because if you sort of look at Zach Ertz from a football perspective, you're like, okay, he's declining, sort of all the stuff's eroding. But at the same time, in like a tight end premium league where you're getting 2 points per reception, you're really running it up with his numbers. So again, it's 8.2 yards per catch, but there's a lot of catches there. So on the field for 64 snaps, 41 routes, 10 receptions. Again, those are all 10 targets. Those are all good numbers in this week. Like, this is a really good example of how Zach Ertz, while he might be a declining player, I think we have to sort of look, you know, situation. And when we see guys that have been elite in their career, they age gracefully in terms of their role tends not to fall off that quickly. And this is kind of the way we see it. I'm not sure Ertz would ever been categorized as like an elite player, but certainly a very, very good player for a while. And that's a long fade at the tight end position, which is, you know, relatively flat thereafter. Trey McBride working in a little bit, 17 snaps, 7 routes. So again, no targets or anything, but getting a little bit more work in there. So we'll see how he, evolves, and maybe this year and next year he begins to work. And then year three, it's really kind of like wheels up for him would sort of be what I would expect as Ertz tends to phase out. Atlanta, they were without Kyle Pitts, Parker Hesse, Anthony Firkser, split snaps. And then Felipe Franks played some in the second half. I think this is a clear void situation without him. That's pretty much as easy as we could go. Baltimore, this is like Andrews just being dominant is the big thing here. He goes 62 plays, 34 routes, 9 targets, 8 catches, 89 yards and a touchdown. So again, just he's a dominant player, one of the two best tight ends in the league, and it's going to be a good run between him and Kelce to see who finishes his tight end one. Buffalo, Quentin Morris, some deeper appeal. If you're cutting running backs, for example, I'm intrigued by him in some deeper formats, because, you know, if you're moving on from a guy like if you're moving on from like a backup running back, something like that, you know, a running back three, like a Tony Jones, for example, like that type of roster spot, as you sort of go along, Chase Reynolds, like those sort of, or Craig Reynolds, those sorts of roster spots, as you sort of move on from them, what do you pivot towards? Well, if you can't pivot sort of up or get to a better running back situation, taking a shot on a speculative guy like Quentin Morris makes some sense here, especially with some, with the bye weeks here coming up. So I'll be watching for him. And again, I like the one thing I would think about a guy like Quentin Morris, why did the Bills sort of move on from O.J. Howard? Well, it's either O.J. Howard stinks, which is entirely possible, or it's that they really liked what they had there as well and could afford to move on, right? They could afford to basically try and do both and develop someone on the back end of the roster, but also have a player that could play now. So interesting there with Morris seeing 4 targets on 25 routes, and we'll watch for when Dawson Knox returns. Tommy Tremble, 28 of 49 routes. Like, it's kind of a wasteland there at the tight end position in Carolina. We'll move on from that. Chicago, they actually had 29 dropbacks in this game. 4 for 45 for Cole Kmet. He's on the mend. 45 plays. He ran 27 routes and 4, 4 targets there. So one of his good performances. Again, he's like tight end 36 on the season. So let's not get carried away. But maybe they throw the ball a little bit more. Maybe they like what they saw from Fields. All right, some stuff from Cincinnati. Hayden Hurst, again, talking about how this is a game and it doesn't necessarily need to be pretty. I think especially at a position like tight end, people can get a little bit, you know, they can look for some style points. Whereas, like, all right, if we can just sort of grind our way through the position with volume, like that's just as good as well. And I think like this is probably a good example of why you're skeptical of taking some developmental bets when you could just take a guy like Hayden Hurst, who was coming into the season not particularly threatened at this position. He comes in, leads them in receiving yards this week, 6 catches, adds a touchdown. He's tight end 11 on the year. So again, this is just like that relatively flat tier in the mid, we'll call it the mid tight end 1 out to tight end 2. Like that tier is pretty flat. And Hurst is just, you know, he's run the 4th most routes in the league. The guys in front of him, Ertz, Higbee, Conklin, right? I mean, when you sort of add those up, they're going to add up a lot at the position. I don't think he's anything special, but I think he has been you know, valuable from the game sense of dynasty. David Njoku, 2.02 yards per route run on the season. On his career, his average is 1.42. His best career number prior to this season was 1.56 last year. So this is a substantial improvement over where he was last year. And, you know, I'm super curious. I talked about this in the group chat just today. But when you actually look at, like, I believe they were the 11th best odds to win the AFC. They rank in the top 10 of both offensive efficiency metrics of EPA on dropbacks and on runs, and that's with Jacoby Brissett. I'm interested in taking a 31-1 shot that they win the AFC because I think the team's really good and they could have some rocket fuel on top of it if Watson comes back and plays well. Like, that's the type of formula that could really make a deep run. So Joku's been really good. I'd be interested to see sort of what this phase of his career is going to look like with Watson here coming back, you know, in a little over a month. Dalton Schultz only played 10 snaps, so he's going through a little bit of an injury. Peyton Hendershot and Jake Ferguson played a little bit as well. Like, it's Schultz or nobody would sort of be the lesson that I would take from that. Denver. Eric Saubert, 24 routes. Albert O was up to, after playing one snap last week, back to 15 snaps. Substantially the third tight end in terms of snaps, the second tight end in terms of actual routes. 24 routes for Saubert, as I mentioned, 14 for Albert O, 8 for Eric Tomlinson. Saubert, 6 targets, 5 catches, 36 yards. So again, if you're sort of in a desperate way, at the tight end position, like you could do worse than adding Eric Saubert, who'll eat up some routes for you, and you could potentially put him out there in an absolute desperation type play, and play him. Like, Chad and I have him in a league. Like, he was our best starting option this week, and so we put him out there. Right? That's kind of what you have to deal with, and hopefully, you know, he gets close enough to kind of that middle of the pack where he ultimately can sort of be a little bit of a solution to bring up the floor from where it otherwise was on our team, which was pretty low in that particular circumstance. Detroit got totally dismantled by the Patriots. 1 catch, 6 yards on 4 targets for Hockenson. He ran 32 routes on 39 dropbacks. So, again, that's pretty good, but just got taken away. This offense was a little bit limited. The injury is really starting to add up. They're injured everywhere. So we'll see. Maybe they get back after the bye, can try to get back right again. But I think the big lesson from this is Belichick has Goff's number. I think that's pretty sure. Heard a fun stat today, which was who is the leading receiving option in terms of salary this year for the Green Bay Packers. It is Mercedes Lewis. 1 target on 14 receptions, but his time in the league, he's just sort of accumulating that veteran salary, and is actually their highest paid receiving option in terms of wide receivers and tight ends. Tanya, 22 routes, 41 dropbacks. This is a similar ratio. Again, that's classic tight end 2 type profile. I don't know if you can get much for it. I wouldn't buy him. Like, He's a streaming option, but that's kind of what you're hoping for, a touchdown basically with him is kind of where he's at this week, this season. Not all the way back. There was some talk that Rodgers was saying, like, listen, he's just not back to his explosive self, and was just giving some examples of what he would have to see sort of for him to know he's all the way back, and he just hasn't gotten there with sort of his run after the catch stuff. So that's, you know, that's I think the big takeaway there is he's just not all the way back, and he's kind of I'm not going to say he's a limited role player, but the snaps just aren't there to support a high-end tight end production season out of him. Houston, O.J. Howard, starting 46 snaps to 24 for Mason Schreck and 10 for Jordan Akins. It was actually O.J. Howard, 15 routes, 9 for each Schreck and Akins. Akins is essentially like the receiving option. Like, he's the receiving specialist, and O.J. Howard playing a little bit on both ways there, but playing more that traditional tight end one role, and seeing more routes, but also blocking as well. So only one target in this game, and it wasn't caught. So Akins goes 2 for 22, but just know that it's a big difference in terms of their receiving, in terms of their snap profile so far on the in this recent stretch here. All right, next up we have Indianapolis, and I think the lesson from this is, like, it's one week it's Mo Ali Cox, the next it's Jelani Woods, the next it's, Kylan Granson, or it's nobody, and it's just sort of revolving. It's really tough to get right. Granson is 20 routes in this game, 3 targets, 18 routes for Mo Ali Cox, one target for Jelani Woods. So let me start that. Let me go back a second. 3 targets for Granson, 1 for Mo Ali Cox, 1 for Jelani Woods. Those are targets, and it's the clear pecking order as well in terms of routes. 20 for Granson, 18 for Mo Ali Cox, and 1 for Jelani Woods. I don't think you feel confident starting anyone in this offense at the tight end position, like, unless it's a desperate 2 tight end type situation. I just don't feel confident putting anyone out there at this point. Jacksonville, 1.08 yards per route run for Ingram on the season. His career average is 1.34. He's lined up out wide about 33% of his routes this year. It's the most of his career. Targeted 10 times, 42 routes this week. He's got 26 targets. So, you're just kind of plugging away at some volume, just not a ton of efficiency at this point. I thought he had more of a ceiling on his season coming into this year. But again, he's like, it's okay. It's sort of in that same range that we just keep talking about. This Chargers game, it was a dud for Gerald Everett. People might blame it on Parham, but it actually wasn't Parham. So just for what that's worth, he only ran 5 routes and blocked on 13 of them. Parham did. So when you look, Gerald Everett was in on 46 plays, 26 routes. So Parham, very much a blocking-centric role in this game. Trey McKitty as well, 36 routes. He had only 36 snaps. He only had 12 routes. So again, much more of a blocking-centric type of deal. Parham, only 1 target. It was Gerald Everett with actually 3 targets for 1 catch in 2 yards. I don't really think this is Parham eating into Everett. I think this is just sort of a coincidence, right? So this isn't a correlation equals causation type deal. This is more of like they just happen at the same time. So just keep that in mind. All right, let's turn to the Rams. And we've got Tyler Higbee, 63 snaps this week, 38 routes, 10 targets. He ran 38 routes on 48 dropbacks. He played 63 of the 65 snaps for the team. Leads the position in receptions pending Monday Night Football with 33. That is more than Mark Andrews. He's tight end 6 on the season with no touchdowns. He leads the league in, I just measured the safe league settings, which is 2 PPR. Leads the league in expected points at 24.6, and he's only got 19. So when you look at it, he's expected for 2.9 touchdowns. He's got 0. So I actually do think he has some ceiling. I don't think that this is fraudulent. I think there's some people out there who will say, oh, he can't sort of sustain this. Well, actually, he can. Actually, he can overperform this. I'm not saying necessarily that he's going to be, tight end one type category, but he hasn't had any touchdown puck luck yet, right? So, again, you just start looking at the position, and I'll just sort of use – your standard PPR for a second here. Again, just sort of in a less favorable context. If he has one touchdown right now, he's the clear tight end three. Right? He has zero touchdowns. So you look at the guys above him, it's Ertz with two, Goddard with one, Hockenson with three, Travis Kelce with three, and Andrews, right? So again, Kelce at the time I'm recording this Monday afternoon, has only played four games, right? So it is, that's a big difference. But if Higbee has one touchdown, he's the clear tight end three. So again, you look, there's a big difference. There's not, right, it can be pretty flat there. But when you actually look at him in the two PPR setting, again, leads the league in expected points pending Monday Night Football. I am sure Kelce will pass him. It's close, though. I mean, Kelce would need 33 expected points to pass him this week. So again, Higbee's going to exit this week with them probably. I'll say probably. It's possible that Kelce can get there, but probably the most expected points overall through five games at the tight end position. So again, that's really lucrative in the two PPR setting, and I think that there's more ceiling there, right? So that's my pitch for Higbee. I don't think he's going anywhere. He's sixth at the position in terms of expected touchdowns and has zero. So again, when you add in that two PPR, he gets up all the way up to tight end three at present. All right, next up here we have Vegas is playing tonight, so I won't be commenting too much on that or at all. Gesicki sighting, 36 snaps. Ran actually 24 routes, two targets, one reception for 30 yards. He's tight end 22 on the season. You're going to see a lot of this. I think he's going to be a pretty big disappointment. I put some trades in there in the rebuilding guide about how I would treat him going forward. I think that there's some spots to acquire him. He's like a fringe, you know, if you're not contending, something like that, you're getting a spot start out of someone at running back, like that you don't expect to be long-term, you know, like kind of like the Jeff Wilson type. I'm interested in making that pivot because I think Gesicki's a buy low, right? That would sort of be the way that I would look at him. Irv Smith, tight end 18. Again, this is why you don't buy name brands at the tight end position that haven't really broken out. 4 for 42, he's tight end 18 on the season. Like, that doesn't really do much for you. 31 routes, four targets there. Pretty limited season so far for him. Hunter Henry, actually, with Jonnu Smith out, there were some suggestions here that it could be Hunter Henry week, and I was telling people, do not do that to me. Do not hurt me in this way. He came through. Again, it was low volume, right? So this is part of, you know, people bag on analytics. It's low volume. He only ran 20 routes, but he had 54 yards, four catches, right? That's a pretty low volume game for the Patriots generally offensively. But you look, like, he more than 2.5 yards per route run. Like, that's a really good outing there for him, and it's been a season that's been pretty disappointing there. So we'll watch to see how the offense is shaped with Jonnu Smith out, but maybe that actually opens up some more opportunity for Hunter Henry going forward. New Orleans outside of Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill has one reception this year and ranks his tight end 7 on the season. So that gives you an idea how awesome he's been on the ground or how bad the tight end position, or some combination of both. Troutman, 12 routes. He goes 2 for 32 and actually adds a touchdown. Juwan Johnson, one catch, 13 yards on actually 15 routes. So again, he's still winning that route share, but Troutman's up in terms of snap share as well. But again, he's more of a blocking centric role than he is a receiving threat, even though this game he has basically kind of like his high watermark of the season. Daniel Bellinger for the Giants had a touchdown rush on a trick play, 17 routes on 45 plays and 31 dropbacks. So again, that's like not great. 41 for Tanner Hudson. There's just not a ton to see here. I think Bellinger's an interesting, more of a stash guy at this point, but I don't think he's anywhere really near lineups at this point. But listen, he's got, for a day three tight end, getting on the field in year one is a success, honestly. Like, I'm not even making fun of him. Like, that is an actual success here. So good on him there for being irrelevant in this offense. I think that's a positive development. The Jets, Tyler Conklin blanked on this game. Listen, he's ran the third most routes in the team. He's up there in the top five of the position, right? So I don't think he's particularly good, but he's good enough to sort of be their guy, and they want to run a ton of tight end routes. Like, again, I think you're going to get bad games from players that, you know, even on high volume, high opportunities, they're just not that great. You're going to get bad games. You'll get dud games out of them. And that's what you see. But I think he still is plenty relevant. I don't think CJ Uzama is really going to threaten him, you know, his workload if he's healthy at this point. Dallas Goedert, 8 catches, 95 yards, 9 targets. So again, he's up there at the top of the position. You just look at at his points in the 2 PPR setting, the safe league setting, he's up to tight end 5. You know, and again, that's like 8 points behind Higbee at tight end 3. So again, it's kind of flattening out in that sort of range. It's a little bit of tier break, you know, a couple of spots after them, like down at the, it's a difference between 7 and 8 that's like 13 points. But yeah, I mean, he's 15 points behind tight end 2 right now, who's Kelce, and Kelce doesn't have, you know, Kelce's only got 4 games. So you sort of get the idea there. He's in basically a nice second grouping, and then both sides, both above him and below him, are sort of widening their gaps at present. I will say there's some work on Twitter here. I think it's Anthony Reinhardt is the gentleman's name. He did some work here and actually does some simulations on how guys do with sort of the quality of their targets, essentially. And Dallas Goedert is performing at a 98th percentile type of outcome. So I will say that he's probably overperforming, and unless he's sort of getting a bit more volume, he's probably not going to see the same level of a more optimized volume, a more optimized role. He's not going to see the same production here going forward. For example, 193 expected yards so far in the season. He has 335. So again, a lot of that's after the catch. He's got 1 touchdown on 1 expected touchdown. So again, when you look at the expected touchdowns on the season, he ranks us 18th at the position in terms of expected touchdowns. So he's doing really well, and this is kind of what we've always thought. Like, he's a really high efficiency player, yet the role for him, it hasn't included the touchdowns, which is what we kind of need to see. So we'll watch for that going forward. Maybe that's, you know, it's through 5 games. Do we see something better here over the next 5? I think that's possible. Pat Freiermuth left the game with a concussion. He split with Connor Hayward and Zach Gentry in the game. Gentry, 27 routes, 6 targets. He went 5 for 43. Potential streaming option in some deeper spots here with some buys coming up is a name to keep an eye on if Freiermuth is going to miss some time. Will Dissly and Noah Fant, again, it's a continue to split work. Dissly, 33 snaps to 31 for Fant. Dissly ran 15 routes, 18 for Fant. So it's actually up a little bit for Fant in terms of some of his workload, but he goes 3 for 49. Listen, I still think he's got something to offer, and I'm interested in buying low, but you have to be very low expectations, right? Low expectations. And that would be the thing that I would say about him. Kittle, 1.25 yards per route run. That's his career worst. His career worst before this was 1.42. I don't believe he's been below 2 in any other season. So, again, do things get back? Is he hurt and sort of still working his way back, and we're opening up for some more opportunities? I do think so. I hope so. And, you know, we haven't had a change in quarterbacks for him. Really, it's been Garoppolo. It has been Garoppolo since really Kittle's been Kittle, or Garoppolo's been hurt. But like, he's sort of not unfamiliar with Garoppolo's offense. We're not unfamiliar with Kittle producing with Garoppolo. I'm hoping he'll take a step forward. We'll have to see here going forward. But I don't think, like, this isn't a situation where the wide receivers are necessarily blowing the doors off the offense either. So I don't think, like, they've run away and made Kittle irrelevant. Like, they've actually taken a little bit of a step back themselves this year. So we'll see with Kittle going forward. I am optimistic, and I am willing to buy low. If you can buy for something outside, like, a top 5 tight end cost, I'm interested in doing so. Cade Otton, this was one I was super interested in from deeper, you know, from a deeper league perspective. 6 receptions, 43 yards in place of Cameron Brate. 46 routes, 7 targets in this game. There's only 2 other routes run by a tight end. That's Kyle Rudolph, who only played 9 snaps. You can cut Kyle Rudolph. Otton at 0.83 yards per route run, which again is pretty consistent. He had 43 receiving yards this week on 46 routes. So not really going to change that ratio all that much, but I'm interested to see if maybe his role will grow from a guy that we weren't totally expecting a big passing game role, at least early on in his career. I liked him as sort of a discount pedigree buy. Just he seemed to be the cheapest guy in his sort of draft pedigree range, and I was interested in buying that in rookie drafts late in some premium leagues and some deeper leagues and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm interested to see sort of how he goes and if maybe he's an addition here going forward if Brait misses any more time. Tennessee is just a complete ass show. 22 routes for Hooper, one target. Swaim ran 7 routes. He was in on 42 snaps, which was basically blocked 35 times compared to 7 routes. That's not great. Shig Okongwu, 5 routes. He was targeted once. Again, I don't think there's a ton there to write home about at the position. I think he could probably, Hooper is tough to even roster at this point. What are you going to do with him? I don't know. That's sort of the angle there. Again, I don't think you probably cut him in a safe leagues, but man, he's not helping you in lineups right now. And then last but not least, we have Washington. John Bates and Cole Turner each had 20 run routes on 43 dropbacks. Bates was 3 for 39 in Logan Thomas's absence. Turner was targeted 3 times with 0 catches. So interested to see sort of the length of Logan Thomas's absence. It was a thing that popped up midweek. So not great there, but I'm interested in Bates. Again, he was a guy that I sort of recommended late last week to hey, it's this potential stash opportunity. I took the spot to stash him a few times. He was a Tony Jones type. Roster spot that I just cut and put Bates in on my bench just to have him there. So that's kind of my thought with that position. We'll see what Logan Thomas is coming back. And just keep in mind, Logan Thomas and Tanyan are very much on the similar sort of not running a ton of routes type of landscape of the tight end position. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this edition here. Okay. And we will have more. We have running backs, wide receivers. I'm recording today. Quarterback will be out tomorrow as well as the waiver show. And all your other content here coming in this week. So that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.